This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Market Talk, where we offer a piping hot take on what's front of mind in financial markets. I'm Max Julius, Head of Content, and I'm delighted to be joined by Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research in Hong Kong. Ben, welcome to the pod and good afternoon.
Thanks, Max. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I understand you just had a holiday. Did you enjoy your time off?
Very much so. Yeah, I had a couple of days staycation and very revitalizing, but I'm raring to go for what is a busy week to come.
Great. Well, that sounds delightful. And moving on to the meat of the show. Today, we're going to look at US equities, the inflation outlook and monetary policy tightening. So with no further ado, Ben, the S&P just hit another record high, lifted by earnings. What do those corporate numbers tell us about the outlook for stocks?
It's pretty incredible, really, if you think about some of the risks that have been battering the market in the last few weeks, from COVID numbers, from higher interest rates. There's lots of things to get worried about monetary policy tightening. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, another all-time high in the S&P 500. It's almost bulletproof. That, the one reason why I do think that it's justified is that we had another round, as you say, of the start of Q3 earnings season. And they've been stronger again. The beat to miss ratio is sort of 84-85% beats, which is sort of typical, but still it just shows you that there is still strength there, fundamental corporate strength, which is really powering equities ahead. And the surprise versus what was expected is earnings are a bit sort of 13-14% higher than what was expected. So that is another big number. So I guess that tells you that we've still got earnings coming through because growth is coming through as well. What I would say is that it's not quite as strong as it has been over the last couple of quarters. So we're moderating a bit, but it's still been enough to get people bullish.
Right. I mean, last week on the CIO call, Sonia said that we've passed peak optimism for earnings. Is that showing in what we've seen of late?
Yeah, they've definitely come off what was an amazing peak. I mean, the surprises in the last few quarters were much higher than 13-14%, much higher. So now they're in a normal range. And actually, if you take off some of the extraordinary numbers we got from the banks, then they really are slap banging what we would normally expect to be a surprise. But earnings are always tend to surprise positively what's expected. That's just the game that is played by corporates. They try and, they try and get the expectations right down and then beat them. And we've sort of got a normal type of beat right now, like I said, compared to what was an amazing beat that we've had over the last few quarters after the pandemic.
Okay, well, moving on to another theme that continues to dominate the market discourse, that's of course inflation. And what can we infer from recent PMI numbers, as well as moves in rates and commodity markets, about the outlook for inflation?
We have the latest PMI sentiment indicator. So these indicators, that was on Friday, these indicators give you a feel of what people are thinking about their business and looking forward. But when you drill into some of the indicators, they also tell you a bit about order backlog and supply chains and all that sort of stuff. And that's really been the focus of markets, investors' attention insofar as they really are telling you that there still are some tremendous issues with supply chains, backlogs. And that is, as we have seen, feeding through into some of the inflation numbers. It's not just supply chains as well. If you look at commodities, they keep going up. Oil just had another tremendous week. And that's feeding into some of the inflation numbers, but it's also telling us that going forward, it's going to be even higher, the inflation. So we haven't actually reached what will be the peak of this sort of pressure. And of course, central bankers are looking ahead, are trying to work out what does that mean? Should they be tightening policy now? And I think that's probably what they will be doing pretty soon.
Well, yeah, exactly. So on that point about central bankers, it's clearly directly related to the inflation outlook. And we know that the Bank of England has its finger on the monetary policy trigger. Could the US Federal Reserve be next?
Yeah, so I mean, we have this week, we have a couple of other central banks to get through before we hit the Fed and the Bank of England, which are, I think, just to your question, the Fed and the Bank of England are probably the most interesting because they're the ones that probably will pull the trigger on some sort of tightening the following week. But this week, we've got the European Central Bank, we've got the Bank of Japan. They probably won't do anything dramatic. That's what we think. They probably will talk about potentially getting closer to having to sort out the inflation situation. But yeah, I think we are going to have to wait for the following week. The Federal Reserve, yeah, I think everyone now understands that they are going to almost certainly announce the tapering of their quantitative easing purchases, so reduce the amount of bonds that they will be buying. They'll still be buying bonds. I mean, this is still supportive, I think, for markets, but it'll just be a slightly lower rate. And then the Bank of England, are they going to hike rates in their meeting later in the week? That's I don't know, maybe a 50-50 type question right now, although it feels as though it's more on the side that they will start to hike rates even next week. And that really is being priced into markets. If you look at the short end of the rates curve, so the sort of 2-year bond yields, they have been shooting up over the last few weeks, both in the US and in the UK, driven by inflation expectations, which are really starting to accelerate now.
And of course, Europe and Japan are not as close to even thinking about rate hikes because of their history of disinflation and even deflation.
Yeah, and you know they've been very careful over this period to try and maintain the sort of support that you know markets require in order to try and not stop the recovery in its tracks. The European Central Bank probably will reduce its emergency purchases, so their emergency QE, maybe in the December meeting. Don't think they're going to be doing it now, but I suspect they'll be talking about what they might replace that emergency program with. What they might, you know, they might talk about a purchase program just in case the inflation starts to dip or the economy starts to fall. They'll have stuff ready. I think, you know, as you say, these two central banks have definitely been burnt by disinflation over the years, and they don't want to prematurely take away any of their support.
Right. Well, it's time now to close up the podcast, as you always do with my colleague Francis, and that's by asking you about the big number you've been thinking about. Ben, so what is your big number this week?
Well, my big number is actually a little number. It's 2. And it's linked to your previous question, actually, about the European Central Bank, 2. Because if you look at sort of long-dated inflation expectations in the market, so the 5-year average inflation rate in 5 years' time. So we're talking about way in the future. It's now in Europe, it's ticked up to 2%, which doesn't sound like a big number. But given their history of the European Central Bank's history of not being able to hit their target, which is 2%, I think it's quite remarkable that pricing has now got up to saying that, no, actually, we think the European Central Bank will hit 2% over that long period of time. So, you know, we've seen such a shift in inflation expectations across the world. Even the European Central Bank has got some credibility with the markets these days at hitting 2%. So you can imagine that rates in the US and the UK is way above 2% in terms of what is expected for inflation. But like I said, even the European Central Bank has got some credibility these days.
That is shocking. And of course, I remember the time when Mario Draghi actually flagged that five-year forward rate as a sign of the need for the ECB to act many years ago. So
exactly.
That is shockingly positive for those bankers in Europe. Well, that's a great point on which to end today's call. The next episode of Market Talk will be next Monday, when Francis Watson will be back in the hot seat. Ben, thank you for your time today, and thank you to you, our clients and listeners, for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.